Hello, this is Sean Zor, and you are listening to the Allied Oddballs podcast. After way too long of an absence, we are finally back, and it's really just a bunch of technical difficulties and junk like that that kept us from not putting on the podcast, but this is an amateur podcast, so honestly, what do you expect? Anyway, it's good to be back, and there is a lot to talk about, so we'll jump right in with what the Allied Oddballs have been playing. Since the Oddballs are a 360 gaming clan, we've been playing 360 games. Our number one game of choice since it came out has really been Rainbow Six Vegas. This game is being played by just about everyone, every night, and it's good because it's fun. Obviously, the multiplayer mode is what we've all been about, and it's on any given night, you can definitely find three or four different Oddball games going on. Probably most favorite mode, the mode that gets played the most, is Terrorist Hunt. And for those of you who have not played this game or you're not familiar with it, the Terrorist Hunt is very similar to the Ghost Recon version of the same, where you and your teammates are all on a map, and you have to eliminate so many amount of terrorists without getting killed yourself. And these maps are really well made for it. They require lots of teamwork to do, and it's fun. On the actual versus side, there's been a lot of team sharpshooter. Once again, this is just like the Ghost Recon. It's a team deathmatch. There's also a bunch of other new modes like attack and defend, and my personal favorite is retrieval, which is basically single flag, capture the flag, but this game works really well for that. These maps work really well for that. And most of the maps are really well designed. If there's anything wrong with them, it's that the spawn points on some of the maps are really just too close together, they're too small, too confined, and this leads to some terrible spawn camping. No matter what game you're playing on, if it's a team sharpshooter match, it's inevitable that someone's going to be complaining about spawn camping because these maps just really tend to lean towards that. But if you're playing with a bunch of cool people and everybody kind of has a gentleman's agreement not to spawn camp, it's not so bad. So, I'm not sure how much longer Rainbow Six Vegas will be the game of choice, but it seems like everybody's getting lots of mileage out of it, and will continue to do so, especially if downloadable content is on the way. We've also had a few people playing Gears of War that pops up occasionally, but the vast majority have pretty much left Gears to go play Rainbow, and I'm not sure if it will stay that way or not. We'll talk about that more later because Gears of War did get some new content out, so that might draw some people back. Well, it is January, and it is a new year, so we have all kinds of new games coming out, but it's not quite too late to look back at the past year, 2006, and it really was a good year to be a Xbox 360 owner. We got a ton of great games, a ton of hours were put in, and it seems that, by and large, my personal favorites from this year are the personal favorites of the clan, just based off of what we've talked about in the forums and what we put the most hours in on. And since we are the Allied Oddballs and we do things a little bit differently, a little bit weird around the edges, and proud of it, I thought instead of doing the traditional top 10 or top 5 list, give my personal top 4 best 360 games of 2006. And like all top lists, it will be in descending order for dramatic effect. So, my fourth best game for 2006 is Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter, or GRAWL for short. Now, I hooked up with the Oddballs in late July, and by this point, most of the clan had already put in hours upon hours upon hours of GRAWL, so I was on the tail end of it, but I still got in a lot of playtime on it, and it is definitely just a really solid 360 game. The single player is fun, but the multiplayer is better. And while the newer games like Rainbow Six are in the same vein, there's just something really fun about, especially like doing the missions. They really added a lot. You could really feel like you're part of a squad working together, and it was fun. So, right along the same line, my opinion, the third best game, I know a lot of people disagree with me and say it's the best game of 2006, is Rainbow Six Vegas. I just got done talking a whole lot about it, so there's not really much more I can say. It's a well-designed game. It's got a great single player with really good, really just well-designed levels that are balanced, they're tough, they're fun. The multiplayer, already talked a lot about it, it's good, and it's just going to continue that way. So, number two game for 2006, in my opinion, is Gears of War. It is by far the most beautiful game we had the entire year, and the single-player campaign is probably the most fun I've had playing a shooting game in a really long time. In fact, it is the only game I can remember in the past probably year and a half, maybe even 2 years, that as soon as I finished the single-player game, I immediately just started over and started playing again because I just didn't want to stop. It was that much fun. The multiplayer is fun. I'm in the camp that believes that the multiplayer is ultimately flawed. The grenade tags are a little too annoying, though the recent patch did fix that, and I find the shotgun to be really random. Sometimes it seems like a shot at distance will just kill somebody, make them explode. Other times it feels like a headshot at point-blank range doesn't do anything. But it's a really fun game, and definitely deserves a top spot on anybody's best of game list for 2006. But in my opinion, the number one game in 2006, probably the game that got the single most amount of single-player hours, maybe the single most amount of hours, period, from the clan as a whole, and due to its most recent expansion that just got released, Knights of the Nine, is still getting lots of hours, is Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion. And as far as I'm concerned, this is the most perfect game ever made. And I've told this story to several people, but when I first played Oblivion, it's one of the few games, maybe the only game, that, for lack of a better word, I forgot I was playing a game. Like, I remember the very first thing I did after I got out of the sewers is I swam across the lake and wandered into a ruin, and all the ruins are infested by ghosts, or this one was infested by thieves, and the two thieves just started talking, and I was in sneak mode, and so every other game I've ever played, you're supposed to just listen because they give away story elements, and I was doing that, I realized that they were just talking about stuff, and it felt very real, and I really just got caught up in the idea of playing a character, and that game just absorbed my life for like a month. I think in less than 30 days, I put almost 80 hours into that game, and I'm still putting hours into it. So it is by far the best game of 2006 for me, and hopefully on the forums, we can get a thread going about what your personal best games of 2006 are, and we'll get everybody's top four, and we'll kind of see what emerges as the Allied Oddballs games of 2006. So moving on to some Xbox news, and this time I'd like to give a shout-out to Asher Crestfallen. He's a member of the Allied Oddballs, who has very faithfully for a good while posted news posts every day on our forums. He has been our source of all video game news, and he's done an incredible job at it. He's going back to school, the city pharmacy, so the news posts are going to be dropping off a little bit. So I just want to give a shout-out, thank him for all the hard work he's done, and hopefully we can carry on with getting some of the news scooped out for the Oddballs in these podcasts. So the biggest news that hit Xbox Live recently is new maps. Two games have them. The first and probably one game that most people are excited about having a new map is new maps are Gears of War. Now, I've put in several games on these two new maps, so I feel like I can talk with at least a fake authority about how good they are. The first map for Gears of War is called Raven's Down, and is the absolute smallest map. It is just itty-bitty. It's really just one tiny section of a street with two little shoot-offs. One is a courtyard, the other is another section of a street, all built around this crashed helicopter. And the first time I played it, I absolutely hated it. It seemed like the whole level is just a shotgun whack-off fest where everyone just started blasting left and right, and that's all it was to it. But I discovered that if you play it smart, you can do a lot. You can do a lot of sneak attacks and surprise attacks, and run around behind people. And it can be a lot of fun. But if everybody comes into it just guns a blazing, then it can just be frustrating. And it's not the best Gears of War map in my opinion. I like it more than a few of the original maps. I just can't stand. But it's not the best, especially when compared to the other expanded map that I really like, Old Bones, which is based in a museum, supposedly, is what they went off of. And I find this to be an incredibly fun map with a whole bunch of just little intricacies and ways to play it. This map basically has two buildings across from each other that open up into this large courtyard that has a statue in the middle. There are columns on these buildings. There are basically two ways to go if you don't want to go in the middle. There's a hallway that's kind of sequestered off on one side of the map that has where the grenade pickup is, and it leads outside. And so people come out there getting grenades from directly across from each other. On the other side of the map is an open area with all kinds of cover and a sniper rifle in the middle of that. And that usually leads to some intense battles. And just overall, the map is really well designed. It's got multiple places where conflicts and flashpoints happen. There's all kinds of ways to set up traps, all kinds of ways to outflank. And in my opinion, it is probably the best balanced map in Gears of War. And it's right up there now, along with some of my other favorite maps. So, well done to the developers on making that one, and even better that it's free. These two maps are completely free, and they also came with a theme, and I understand that we have Discovery Channel to thank for that, because they sponsored it, and I am all about that. Companies can advertise to me as much as they want, as long as they provide free content with their advertisements. I am way cool with that one. Now, no one else is playing it other than me, it seems, but Call of Duty 3 also got a new map called Champs, and this map is advertised to get back to the classic Call of Duty 2 style of play, and I guess it doesn't a little bit in the fact that there are no vehicles. It is still a much bigger map than anything you'd ever find in Call of Duty 2, but it is actually a really fun map. It has a whole bunch of different things going on. It's got the street battles, it's got some burnout buildings, and it's got a field with a whole bunch of wheat, I guess, or something growing in it, which can be kind of tense because it also has lots of scarecrows in this field, and so more than once I've tried shooting a scarecrow thinking of somebody. But if there's any complaint that can be made about this map, it feels a little bit thrown together, like they just took set pieces out of other maps and just crammed them all into one. But it really is a fun map. It's a good addition to the game. And it also is free, so I am all about the free content. Some other Xbox news is that Lost Planet is out today. I've already noticed that some members of the Oddballs have been playing it, and so I'm looking forward to hearing their impressions. This has largely been considered by kind of the internet buzz to be the next big 360 game. A lot of people have already decided that before even playing it. The website GameRankings.com currently has the composite rating for Lost Planet at a 78%, which I guess isn't too bad. It's probably not as high as a lot of people were expecting. I looked at the reviews that kind of add into that percentage, and the low review cites that mech fighting portions are boring, the boss battles are generic, the story is minimal, and the human AI is bad. On the flip side, the high review states that the shooting action is extremely solid and satisfying, and they included mentioning that the mechs won that, so it's opposite to the low review. And this review also gave high praises to the multiplayer portion of the game. And I'm not personally not sure about that one, because I did put some time into the demo for the Lost Planet multiplayer that was released on Live, and personally, I hated it. I found it to be really boring. I found the weapons to be hard to use. I just really did not like the multiplayer demo. But maybe that got changed. Maybe there's some new modes. I've personally not played Lost Planet yet, so I'm not really sure about it. Hopefully, we'll be talking about that in a week or two on this podcast. But I guess it remains to be seen to see if this is the next big game. I know personally, I'm still not done with Gears of War and Rainbow Six, so I'm not ready to move on to another big game. So like I said, we'll see how well it turns out. Some other news is that EA has announced a new soccer game for the UEFA Championship League. Now, if you're like me, you have no idea what the UEFA even is, so I looked it up, and that's the Union of European Football Associations. So, it seems like a kind of odd release for the American audience, since by and large, we don't care about soccer. I know there are some people who do. This is probably be big in Europe. But what I found interesting about this announcement is that it's mixing up the EA Sports games that we see every year with Malta, which is a yearly release. This is adding something new to it, in that it's combining collectible card game elements into the game. So, for example, the players you have are that you'll have for your team are all based on these cards that you've collected. The stadium you play in, the coach you have, the trainers are all incorporating these cards, and they give bonuses, and so you have to buy and collect these cards and then customize them to put them together to kind of form the backdrop that you then play out in the traditional EA sports game way. So it's combining two completely different genres, and I'm a fan of any kind of innovative things like that. Hopefully it works out, and it should be interesting. I think this game is stated for March or April release, so I'll be looking forward to see some previews on it and just see how it turns out. Some older news that may have been lost in the cracks in the whole Christmas huffle and shuffle is that there are two Aliens games set to come out for the next-gen consoles. The first is an FPS by Gearbox. If you're not familiar with the developer Gearbox, the two things most notable for it is they did the PC conversion of Halo, and they're also the developers of the acclaimed Brothers in Arms series. So I can imagine an Aliens FPS by them could be pretty interesting, especially if they use some of the squad-based stuff that they developed for Brothers in Arms. And ever since watching Aliens as the movie, I've always wanted to shoot down some aliens and with the Marines, and I don't have a gaming PC, so I kind of missed out on that a few years ago. So a 360 version sounds pretty fun to me. There's also a RPG Aliens being developed by Obsidian, and an RPG Aliens sounds a little weird. I'm not sure how to do it. If it's a Final Fantasy style turn-based game, that could just be dreadfully boring. But I think it'll probably be more along the lines of Knights of the Old Republic or Oblivion. So those games have no official release dates, but it's got a good franchise, and hopefully they can make something of it. The final bit of news I have is one that sounds fun, and I'm so hoping I can convince my wife to make this my Valentine's Day present, and that is a website called GamingAngels.com is hosting a Gears of War tournament that is specifically designed for couples. This tournament's going to put two couples against each other in Gears of War and random maps, and the biggest rule for these couples is that they have to be of the opposite sex. So it's obviously made for gaming couples to play together, and that is awesome. Even better, the top three teams will get a gift card for a dinner for two to the restaurant of their choice, and that is very cool. Like I said, I hope my wife can get in on this. I first have to teach her how to play Gears of War, but that'll be worth it. And I hope to see more tournaments like this, because it sounds like a really great idea. So that's all the Xbox news we have at this point. And like I said, we don't have any more on the website for a while, because Full Circle Gaming is down for the time being. But we'll move on to upcoming games. The upcoming arcade game has already been announced for next week. It is Heavy Weapons, and I don't know a lot about this. I do know it's a vehicle shooting game, and I believe it is side-scrolling. It's loosely based off of a Flash game that is available on the internet, but it's been given more structure, had actual levels added, and we'll see how it is next week. I personally like to see some games that don't involve shooting on the live arcade. We get a lot of Geometry War clones. We just got Assault Heroes not that long ago, but we'll give Heavy Weapons a chance. I believe it's 800 points when it comes out. Also, for the Xbox Live Arcade, there was a rumor going around on the internet last week that got lots of momentum that Worms will be coming out shortly after CES, which is now over, and we still don't have Worms on the 360. Personally, I hope Worms comes out sooner than later. Like, if it came out instead of Heavy Weapons, that'd be fine by me. If you've never played Worms, it is a really fun turn-based strategy slash humor slash shooting game that is just awesome. You control a worm, and have to use all kinds of crazy weapons, from napalm strikes to the holy hand grenade of Antioch, to destroy all the other worms. And it would be a perfect addition to Xbox Live Arcade. It'd be a perfect game to play over live, and I really hope the rumor of it coming out soon is true. In the next few weeks, there are three games coming out for the 360. Next week sees March Madness 2007, so it's another EA Sports basketball game. And for me, unless they release themes of some obscure colleges like Butler, I don't really care. I'm not a big EA Sports person, not a big playing basketball on the Xbox person. But if that's your bag, then I'm sure you're looking forward to this game, and hopefully it's fun for you. Coming out the end of the month is Battle Stations Midway, and this seems like an interesting strategy game. The game will allows the player to control any vehicle, from the smallest plane to these huge, gigantic battleships and destroyers. And I'm not entirely sure how well that could work. It seems like that's a lot of different control schemes and things to think of, so it may be hard to kind of get that balanced. But I'm all about having more strategy games on the 360, and a game that combines elements of action and strategy equally and makes it work is a great rarity. So this game definitely has my interest peaked, and I'm looking forward to playing it and seeing if it turns out to be as good as I think it could be. Also coming out the same day on January 30th is Fusion Frenzy 2. If you miss it the first time on the Xbox, then you missed out, because Fusion Frenzy is a really fun party game. It's just a big collection of mini games, and most people probably played it, and the only experience they had with Fusion Frenzy was playing it with the first Halo. It was a packaged in demo. But Fusion Frenzy 2 will have a return of many of the most popular minigames from the first Fusion Frenzy and several new ones. And this will be even better because it includes online play. So that'll be an added bonus, and that'll make it really fun, because a lot of these minigames are just fun pick-em-up-and-play games and also incredibly addictive. So being able to just jump on and play them with three or four other people at any time would just be a blast. So personally, I got this game pre-ordered. I can't wait for it, and it should be a ton of fun. And that's really all that we have coming out in January. It's kind of a slow month for the 360. There are a lot of games announced for the first quarter of 2007, but many of them don't have exact release dates yet. So it seems like a lot of them will probably get late February or March releases, or get pushed back to later in 2007. So I'm going to add a new segment to this podcast, since this is the official podcast of the Allied Oddballs clan. We'll talk about some of the things going on in our forums, along with playing games together. We also have an active forum, and that's one of the main ways that we stay in contact with each other and keep our little community going. So coming from there is there's a collection of several posts, and all related to Rainbow Six Vegas. And that people have confessed that they've done a good deal of stat boosting. Now, if you've not played Rainbow Six Vegas, the way it works, similar to the Rainbow Six on the Xbox, is the more you play, the more your rank goes up. And with each time you advance in rank, you unlock new good stuff, whether it be new weapons or new armor or just new color schemes. And when creating your character, all of the colors and the armor combinations and all that is customizable. So the higher rank you get, the more you can customize your character. So several oddballs have admitted to just boosting the rank by starting games and then just leaving them, walking away, coming back several hours later just to get their stats up. Now, due to doing this, some oddballs have reached the absolute highest rank in the game, the rank of Elite. And I did some rough calculations at this. I'm not sure if they're right, but figuring out how many points it takes to get to the highest rank, and then figuring the best way to get points is playing 20-minute games of attack and defend to get 1,600 points per game, then to reach the rank of Elite, just by boosting alone, would require 140 hours. So there has been an insane amount of boosting going on by some of our members. We won't mention who they are. And also, along the same lines in the Rainbow Six threads, a rumor popped up that no one knows exactly where it came from or who started it, but a rumor did pop up that Ubisoft is going to put all boosters back into the place and bump them back down to privates. So for those people who've already put hours upon hours into boosting just to get their rank up, hopefully it doesn't happen to them, because that would just suck. Also, in the past several podcasts, we've gotten away from doing a game recommendation for the week, but we're going to bring that back. And the game recommendation for this week is Texas Hold'em. Like I said, we've all been playing a whole bunch of Rainbow Six Vegas, and I think it's time to stop shooting up Vegas and just enjoy the pleasures of Vegas. And the best way we can do that on the 360 is by playing some Texas Hold'em. Now, it's a game that most people have because it was free when it first came out. And not too long ago, a patch was released to fix some of its problems. So this might be a good time to get back into Texas Hold'em, get in a room with some friends, break out the drinks, and just sit back and have a good time taking each other's fake money. So hopefully you can do that, and hopefully sometime this week we might be able to even get an Allied Oddballs room going, because that'd be a ton of fun. Well, that concludes the Allied Oddballs podcast. I hope you had fun listening. Remember, you can check us out at www.alliedoddballs.com, and hopefully we will have another podcast for you in a week or two. Bye.